This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
You know, I can't help but love that car accelerating at the beginning of my show. That is music. And yes, there's music playing in the background, but that's the kind of music I love. Carl Brower, he's right there with me on that because he and I are both Dodge Demon owners and our cars sound like that. Carl's the executive publisher of Kelley Blue Book, Autotrader and Dealer.com, but a full-on car guy. Now, Carl, I know there's some news, and I saw it and I went, no. There's only one guy that could tell me anything about the Ford GT and any news on that. It's Carl Brower. So I shunned my eyes.
That's right. None of this, you know, half measures on knowing about Ford GTs. You want to get it, you got to get it straight, get it from the right source.
That's exactly right. I mean, who do I know that knows more about the GT than a man who owned one from the beginning of 2000, what year was that, five, when you got yours? Right?
Yeah, but I was following it for 3 years before that.
Exactly.
So I was there when it showed up at the Detroit show in 02, and I've been following them ever since.
And so now what is the news? Because this is kind of, from what I understand, this is kind of a big piece of news.
It is. It's a really big piece of news. Remember that Ford was going to produce 500 of these cars originally.
Right.
And they put an application system out there for people in April of 2016, and they got 6,500 applicants for the car. So they realized quickly that, hey, it looks like when Ford produces a, you know, give or take $500,000 pure exotic performance car, people don't balk at the fact that it's got a Ford emblem and all. You know, there's plenty of people who are like, I'm in, you know, and I think they weren't 100% sure. I mean, the GT, 05, 06 GT started around 150, and there was no issue really getting rid of those cars, and there's been no issue on their value ever since. But this was a three-time plus increase, and I think Ford was still a little like, well, we'll see how many people have an appetite for a $500,000 Ford. Apparently, far more than they planned to build originally. So they went from 500 allocation to 1,000 almost within months of that application process coming out. And everyone knew that that was the new number. But now they have just upped the number to 1,350. So there's another 350 that will be available on top of the 1,000.
Well, and these cars, though,
process will open November 8th.
They're bringing like $1 million. Who wouldn't want, right?
So far, right? I mean, I feel like the market value is a little unrealistic or non-representative, because if you get one of these vehicles, you're supposed to keep it for 2 years. And if you have to get rid of it for some financial reason or something, Ford's, you know, agrees or understands that things can change, they've got first right of refusal. They'll be happy to buy it back off of you for roughly what you paid for it. But people have been out there trying to flip them to not back to Ford, but to someone else, because they think they can get more money. And so far they've been correct on getting, you know, 2 to 3 times the amount. But that's when two were available, right? You know, there's been hardly any that have been for sale. So supply demand suggests they're going to be pretty expensive when they come up. When the market is settled down, we're past that 2 year requirement, where will these cars settle in? Well, at 1,000, even at 1,350, I don't see them, you know, really suffering. Don't forget too, what I always remind people is that this is a global car.
Right.
The 0506s were really not. 100 went to Europe and 200 went to Canada, and that was it. And they made 4,038. Mm. They're only going to make 1,350 total, and a bunch of them, probably over 350, will go outside the U.S., which means there'll still only be 1,000 available for the entire U.S. market. Mm.
So a couple of weeks is all you guys that have $1 million burning a hole in your pocket. Oh, no, that's right. You can buy these for half of what they would have been going for on the open market if somebody was willing to get in a big lawsuit with Ford Motor Company, which happened to what's that guy's name? Senna?
John Cena.
Cena. Yeah.
He got sued.
Oh, jeez. Think about that. A $500,000 Ford. Oh, jeez. Well, that's cool, man. Cool. All right. So more news, more stuff going on. North American Car of the Year testing. Carl just spent the last week doing that. We're going to come back, talk more of him. Also, Kelley Blue Book, KBB.com. Find out what your vehicle's worth, what you should buy one for, what you should sell one for. That's what KBB is all about. It's kind of the Bible of the auto industry. What are things worth? I'm Alan Taylor. This is The Drive. Be right back with Carl.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance. Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Welcome back. We're glad you're here. This is a car show. Car enthusiasts, yes. Yes, a little bit on the lunatic fringe. We admit it. We know we love cars far too much. You know, it's the little things in life that matter, though, to us car crazy people. Carl Brower is joining us from Kelley Blue Book, Auto Trader, Dealer.com. He's the executive publisher. Carl, so North American Car of the Year. Explain to people why that is important and who are these people that are voting? They wouldn't let me vote. Why? What's so important about that? I can vote, you know, but no.
Well, there's some pretty high standards there, Alan. I'm sorry to talk
thanks
about it.
Thanks a lot.
I mean, you know, you got to be careful who you let into this club.
Exactly.
And, well, we reviewed your application. And
I did not apply. I just called and threw my vote over the fence, you know. Anyway, so yeah, talk about it. Who is on the list? Who are these people?
So you've got 57 or 56 jurors right now. It was 50 for years. Then it went up to 60. We're still kind of figuring out what the exact number should be, the final number. I'm on the organizing committee, and I'm helping them kind of run through all this. But regardless, 50-plus jurors from across Canada and the U.S. and Mexico who vote on the North American Car and Truck of the Year. And the fact that they're from all different countries and publications is what makes the award so unique. A lot of people, rightly or wrongly, depending on the circumstance, look at various Car of the Year awards and wonder how much a manufacturer had to pay to get that of the year award from that particular publication.
Right.
And you can't even suggest that here because there's 50 people from all the different publications that are out there. So you'd have to have a really well-funded and industrious automaker to go buy off all, you know, whatever 40, 50 represented publications to try to influence this thing. And of course, none of that happens. That's just jurors funding this thing themselves with an annual fee that we all pay. We all pay a fee to create the award and fund it and pay for the trophies and all that. And so we're all independently deciding this thing. And that's why it's considered really the most prestigious of all the awards out there.
So when do they actually make the announcement?
They make it every year traditionally at the Detroit Auto Show. It's the first press conference of the year at the Detroit Auto Show, and we'll have the finalists down to like the kind of three in each category, because there's car, there's utility, and there's truck of the year. And right now we've still got like 30 plus vehicles between all three of them, about 10 each. Actually, there's only three trucks, and then we've got like 15 or 12 of the other two categories, but we'll get it whittled down to three by early December. And so you'll know one of the three for each of those categories. And then we'll make the announcement at the Detroit Auto Show.
So January. Okay.
January, I think it's the 7th or 8th. I have to look at a calendar, but
what does the automaker, I mean, obviously it benefits them, but how big of a benefit is it? I mean, do they really feel a tremendous uptick in sales if something wins the North American Car or Truck of the Year?
I think it's a benefit on multiple levels. You know, I think if you're an automaker and you've got a team working on, you know, your all new vehicles, remember, it's got to be an all new or redesigned vehicle.
Right.
So you and I both know, Alan, there's a lot of competition in the industry. There's a lot of ego in the industry. I think, you know, last year, for instance, the Lincoln Navigator won the awards. And that vehicle is going up against very premium SUVs from Land Rover and Cadillac and BMW. And so for the Lincoln Navigator to win, that's quite a feather in their cap, even if it's just a kind of industry known thing and a lot of consumers aren't aware of it. But the truth is, a lot of these automakers will advertise. I see ads for the Honda Accord talking about how it won Car of the Year. I see that on TV.
Right.
They're honestly saying it won North American Car of the Year. And I think that if you're a consumer, you're like, wow, It didn't even win this publication or that publication. It won North American. It's just the car that this wide band of people picked. I think that makes a difference to people who are shopping.
Yeah. I think sometimes, too, there are, and I've worked for Motor Trend and Car and Driver both, and so they both have their Car of the Year stuff. And some people have said in the past, oh, it's an advertising thing. And at the end of the day, there is no advertising in this North American Car of the Year. So it has to be like it's purified by fire, in essence.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the manufacturers can advertise after they've won it, but nobody, there's no publication. There's no North American Car and Truck of the Year publication that lives and dies on sponsorship of manufacturers like most other publications and all. So yeah, if it wins, it's because 50 plus people who are experts in the automotive world decided it was the best car, and none of them could have gotten paid. There's no way to really get paid by the manufacturer.
Listen, and you can whisper if you want. Tell me who's ahead. Who's winning? Do you have any sense? Just whisper.
Well, what's beautiful is I'm one of 50 plus people, so I could tell you who I think is going to win, and it means nothing, right? I mean, you know, especially a lot of people say, well, given Carl's history, we know his opinion means nothing. So, you know,
but I could, totally I could sell the insider information, okay? Please, just whisper it to me.
It's secret. Secret stuff, Alan. Secret.
All right. Okay, so here, when we come back, we're going to talk about how there's a big shift going on with these car shows, these North American, you know, what is it? Like the LA Auto Show, which is coming up, Detroit Auto Show, New York. I want your opinions on that. We've been talking about this for a while, but it's really happening. We're talking about Kelly Blue Book, Auto Trader, Carl Brower. He's the man. He's got the inside track. Not going to tell me any secrets, evidently. Public information only. I'm Alan. This is The Drive. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
My dad is a proud doer, always building, repairing, or maintaining something. He relies on Craftsman tools, and I do the same. Today, Craftsman mechanics tools, metal storage, and lighting are available from your favorite retailers. But that's only the beginning. A full line of retooled and refined products are on the way. Find your favorite store at craftsman.com and stay tuned for more big news from this trusted American brand.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, my show is sponsored. That's how we get this message out to the world. We thank our friends at Bridgestone. They're passionate about making tires that you can count on to perform when it matters most. Bridgestone. Carl Brower joining us, not sponsoring the show, which really does piss me off, but that's all right. I like you enough to let you slide on that. Kelly Blue Book, Auto Trader and Dealer.com. He's the executive publisher. Can you give us just, I mean, all right, I don't want you to tell me any secrets, but what are the cars that are in some of the categories? And then I want to talk about what's happening to the big auto shows that were, I mean, those were the kind of the, what are they, the Emerald City for us car guys, right? We're all like on our way to see the Wizard of Oz, and all of a sudden, you know, it's not such a big deal anymore. But let's start out with some of the cars, and then we'll talk auto show stuff. A North American Car of the Year. Yep.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think you've got everything from kind of more mundane but still really high volume cars that are important, like a Toyota Corolla. The new Corolla is really good, Alan. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kia Toyota has been saying for a couple of years now he wants, you know, no more boring cars. He wants Toyotas to have passion. They've been dependable for decades. Now he wants them to be fun. The new Toyota Corolla is fun.
By the way, that's confusing because the guy who is Mr. Toyota, his first name is Kia. That's confusing. That's a car company.
It's a Kia.
Oh.
A-K-I. But you're right. There's, and then his last name is T-O-Y-O-D-A.
I know,
no
right?
T in it. It's T-O-Y-O-D-A. So it's all
confusing
all the stuff
as hell. Anyway.
But the Toyotas are becoming more emotional, and that's what they have to do, and he knows it. So that's just as an example, the Toyota Corolla is on the list for the North American Car of the Year, and I think it potentially would have a shot just because of its evolution into a more emotional vehicle.
Right.
And you got stuff like the new Genesis G70, which is going right at things like an A4 or a 3 Series, you know, really iconic entry luxury cars, and it's really well executed too. I mean, the driving dynamics, I was in it last week, they're just fabulous. So you've got some really cool cars on the car side. On the SUV side, there's just, you know, the market's hot there. There's a lot going on. I think one of the most interesting cars in there is the Jaguar I-Pace. You know, their pure electric car goes right up against the Model X, the Tesla Model X. It's really well done, Alan. I mean, it drives fabulously. It's got great build quality. The interior is very premium. It's fast. It's, you know, typical electric car, instant torque. It's really well executed. But then again, you've got something like a Volvo XC40, which is, again, more of a kind of functional car. It's about half the price of that I-Pace. And it comes with this new subscription option where people for $650 a month get everything, insurance, maintenance, and their payment included in one bundle. And we know that people are becoming more subscription oriented.
Right.
So you can make arguments for the XC40 as much or more on its purchase options as the car itself, which is also really well done and it's got a lot
of. Does that play into it though, Carl? Does that play into it, the purchase options?
I think it should. I think if we're doing our job as jurors for North American Car and Truck of the Year jury, we should be thinking this isn't just about the car's capabilities. It's how accessible is it to people.
And right.
That car's got a lot of technology and safety built in, even at its base price, and $650 a month for everything. That sounds kind of expensive for a lease rate, but that's insurance, that's your maintenance,
right,
and you get an option after a year
right.
to switch cars.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's just the access, you know, economy. So it's very interesting.
Right.
All right. Well, All right. I don't want to run out of time on you because I got like 3 minutes and I want to hear what your thoughts are and what's going on with the big auto shows. It, you know, not all the automakers are showing up to the big auto shows.
Yeah, they're really kind of dropping quickly. You know, we know the Detroit show is only going to be in January one more year. They're going in June for 2020 because
what?
They feel like it's a more desirable time of year. Yeah. So they're going to remake the entire show and reposition its timing in the year because they just feel like they're, you know, all those European luxury brands have essentially bailed out on the Detroit Auto Show, which would have been impossible to conceive even like, you know, 5-10 years ago. And, you know, Paris just happened. The Paris Auto Show happened and I wasn't there, but people I talked to who were, they said it was kind of like, you know, kind of
boring.
Depressing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. There was all these wide open spots where there weren't any cars or displays that are always filled with cars and displays. And this is the bottom line, Alan. When you pay to go to an auto show as an auto manufacturer, you're paying $1 million+, easily $1 million just for the space. And then you got to pay for the booth that you have built there and the labor unions that set it all up and all. And at the end of the day, you're doing that and you're in with 50 other manufacturers, 40 other manufacturers, a bunch of them trying to make news within the same 48-hour period, give or take.
Right.
So you're paying all this money to be in this highly noisy environment with all these other competing pieces of information going on. And the automakers finally started looking at it and they're going, wait, if we spent that same amount of money on like our own press event, like the Audi e-tron they just had in San Francisco last month, and they had total control over it. And they shipped in all these journalists. They had thousands of journalists in there, plus a lot of the Audi owners and other people. And they had it in San Francisco. And it was this really fancy, elaborate event.
Right.
And it probably didn't cost them much more than an auto show event. And they were the star of the show. There was that event dwarfed all the other automotive news for that 24-hour period.
I was going to say, they got 100% of the media instead of 5% or 10% or whatever, because... No, I remember when one year I talked to somebody and they said Audi spent $25 or $50 million on their display. I went, What?
Yeah.
I mean, imagine what you could do if you did something like what you just described. Anyway, well, times are a changing. Carl Brower, thank you, brother. Appreciate all the good you do for us, giving your opinions on what's going on. I'm looking for this song. Where is it? Hold on, I got it. I know. Oh, here it is. I got you ready for it? This is your song, Carl.
I'm ready.
James Brown. All right. Thank you, sir. That is Carl Brower. You can find him also at carlbrower.com if you want to find out kind of his escapades with a new GT that he's about to get. I'm Alan Taylor. He's Carl Brower, KBB.com. We'll be back and more right after this. Do it.
You can spend this fall hauling bags of leaves to the curb or hauling... Hurry in to your local Dodge dealership for great deals on Dodge Charger with 292 horsepower and 30 MPG highway. Dodge Challenger, the most affordable V8 in its class. And Dodge Durango. This fall, get great deals at your local Dodge dealership. EPA estimated MPG. Actual results may vary based on Ward's Middle Specialty segment. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, our next guest has got something that you're going to go, what? It's the world's first digital electronic license plate. How could that even be legal? Because I want one. I don't know what it is yet, but it's called Reviver Auto, reviverauto.com. You can check it out. Reviver Auto, R-E-V-I-V-E-R, auto.com. Neville Boston. Neville, what is this? Come on. Is this legal?
It is. The world's first digital electronic license plate. We've been working with California, you know, for a while now, since 2009. So we passed legislation, and we started selling these on the road June 1st.
You're kidding me. Explain for the mind's eye what it looks like and how it works.
Okay, think about an iPad on the back of your car. We use a bi-stable technology, the e-ink display. It's like your Kindle. And basically, it's attached to the back of your car. It's the same form factor as a regular license plate, 6x12, but it's digital.
So it seems like it would be a bit frail, though. I mean, you know, somebody could smack it and break it, or, you know,
is it visible?
No.
It's well built. So what we do is we have a backing plate that we put on where the normal license plate would go, and then we tow the plate in there, and then we have safety fasteners on the side.
Right.
So in order to take this off, it would be like, you know, taking off your bumper. It's really, really secure.
Gotcha. Now, how visible is it? Is it as visible or more visible? I mean,
I would say it's more visible.
Well, I mean, but
yeah,
how?
No, I would
is
say
it
it's,
because it's well, backlit well, because, or what?
Yeah, it's backlit, you know, for nighttime driving. But you know, during the day, the thing that's amazing about it is that the beauty of using a bi-stable display is that it operates just like a metal plate. So you can see it from all angles. Mm. 180 degrees, you know, the side, the front, you know, top down, doesn't matter. It is extremely visible. What we do when we take it out is that the plate, we go to the test track, the CHP test track, and we tested it, and it tested, you know, off the charts. So it's fantastic that way.
So where do you put the stickers? For
no
the
more
month
stickers
year.
Anymore, my friend.
Oh,
it's all digital, man.
Okay.
It's over air. We have an app on your phone, both iOS and Android, and you update your registration by going to your app.
Wow. Well, so that takes care of going into that nasty line at the DMV.
There you go, my
oh,
friend.
Boy, wow. So I do have more questions, but what is the cost of this?
Okay, so the cost, our base model.
Now, by the way, let me stop you there because I live in Oregon, but I grew up in California, and I'm in California, you know, a lot. California
yes.
is that state where everything is like 8 times higher than most other states. In Oregon, it's like $250 for 2 years. In California, it's the base on the car value. And so I wanted to say that before you got it out because, you know, I mean, there's so many factors in here. But yes, what does it cost?
So our base model is our base plate is $499. And then the model that has the GPS, accelerometer, you know, all the goodies is $799. So two different models of pricing.
So this plate, does it stay with my car the way, I mean, because if it was a personalized plate, I'd get to keep it. But most license plates in most states stay with the car. How do you deal with that? You treat it like it's a personalized plate, I take it.
Yeah, so I mean, before, if you think about it, a metal plate is something that, you know, that the state owns. But our digital plate, you own the plate, the state owns the number. So it's a JPEG file. So whatever your number is what the state owns. If you want to get a specialty plate, you basically would go and update it, and then we would, you know, present that image to the plate. In California in 2019, they're going to go to temp tags. So when you buy a car, you'll have a temporary tag. We can do a temp tag when you purchase the vehicle, and then when you get the actual number, we update over air. So you never have to go back.
Wow. Here we go, people. It's happening. We are becoming a digital society. Oh, my gosh. Well, so here's another question for you then. What about, you said CHP, California Highway Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
What about some of these states, and California has some too, with these cameras? Does the camera see it as easy, or can you turn it on? off or something like that.
No, no, the camera sees it as well. It's readable.
Yeah.
The funny thing is the font that's used on the plates is called Penitentiary Gothic. So, you know, if you recreate the, you know, that font, then it's visible to those LPRs, the license plate readers.
Right.
And it's funny because, you know, plates are still made in Folsom. So yeah. Penitentiary is apropos.
Exactly, right? Wow. Okay, so this is the first digital license plate in the world. And
yes.
What's it called?
It's called the R plate.
The R plate. What does the R stand
the
for?
The R plate. Well, see, it starts for Reviver.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, we were trying to be cute. I mean, you know, Apple has their I. We were doing the little R.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. So California, it's amazing that you got this through in California. California can be the worst or the best, depending on where you're at. In your case, it turned out to be the best because I would have thought that would have been very difficult. But where do you go from here?
Where we go from here is that we'll be in Arizona before the end of the year. Huh. And then we passed legislation in Texas, Florida, and we had an initial legislation run in Washington for a study. Next year, we're looking to be in one state on the West Coast, another state, and then another four on the East Coast. Mm. So it's going to be a busy year. We look to be in a minimum of 10 states next year.
All right, here's the devil's advocate stuff. What if the plate goes out and I'm driving without a license plate then, you know?
See, this is the beauty of using e-ink technology. It's once that image is there, it's there permanently. It takes power for you to remove it. The reason why we use, you know, this bistable technology is that it takes no ambient draw from the car. So when there's an image there, it's basically frozen. When you apply power, then you have the ability to change the image. So worst case scenario, just be a license plate. Hmm. And that's what we needed to be. We needed to be, you know, as good as what a middle plate would be.
All right, the devil again. What if my wife catches me at the no-tell motel and takes a baseball bat to my license plate? What happens?
Well, the beauty of that is that it operates like you're like a windshield. So it would the image would still be there. It would just be, you know, cracked, you know. So that's why we went with this technology, is that it operates just like a metal plate. A metal plate would bend, this would crack, but you would still see the numbers. It's still readable.
I think this is actually kind of cool. I guess I have to give you the Ferris Bueller music, because this is what, you know, I think it's going to be cool to have one of these. You know, for $500.
I want to get you one. You've got to definitely get one. We'll take care of you.
Let me tell you, I have serial number 8 Dodge Demon. It's black.
Oh, wow.
And
and this plate will be black with black background.
Oh!
It would look amazing.
I'm going to get a personalized license plate that says number 8 or the 8 ball or something like that. All right, Neville, thank you. I'm going to send people to your website, reviverauto.com. He's going to be at SEMA, by the way. So if, you know, you're going to be out at SEMA, go out to the Allen Edds Auto Sound booth. I would like to meet you there, and I want to see this in person and look at it, okay?
Oh, yeah, we'll have one for you, you know, definitely, and we definitely are going to meet at SEMA.
All right, good man. Neville Boston, Reviver Auto, and this is The Drive. Maybe you won't want to drive without your R plate.
There you go.
All right, Neville, thank you. We'll be right back with more of The Drive.
Thank you.
Tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel cost, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Craftsman We Build Pride, Craftsman Tools. Stephen Cole Smith is joining us. Stephen Cole Smith, the automotive and motorsport journalist, one of the best in the industry, works with Automobile Magazine and Auto Week. You know, I was watching all my friends last Sunday at the Austin, Texas racetrack, the F1 racetrack in Austin. I've been there before. Beautiful, beautiful racetrack. I was feeling a little jealous, Steve.
Yeah, it looked good from the TV. I heard it was a little bit chilly, a little bit wet before. But, man, on TV, the race looked good. The track looked, I think, better than it has in a long time. They've eliminated quite a few grandstands, so the ones that were left were pretty full. I don't know if that was because of the race or because people wanted to wait and see Britney Spears afterwards. So a friend of mine posted a really bad traffic jam photo right after the race. So apparently a lot of people did not want to stick around to see Britney. So probably quite a few of them went to the race. But, man, it was a heck of a race. I mean, Lewis Hamilton, you know, he's got the championship in the bag. He hoped to wrap it up in Austin. He didn't. It'll have to go to Mexico this weekend. That's where he'll probably do it. It's just, Sebastian Vettel, I think, has to win all three races, and basically Lewis just has to show up and flash his earring, and he wins a championship. But still, and he really tried to get into second place to try to make a pass toward the end of the race. Some of the best F1 racing we've seen in a long time, which not necessarily a high bar. There hasn't been that much side-by-side competition up front, but it was kind of cool to see Kimi Raikkonen win in the Ferrari. He's the wingman for Vettel. Has a won in 111 races. Ooh. And they get him in victory lane, and he looks like he came in 12th. I mean, Hamilton seemed happier to get third than Raikkonen did to win, but that's just the stoic, fighter pilot persona that a lot of these Formula One guys have. Kimi acted like it was no big deal at all. But after 111 races, man, I think I'd be turning cartwheels because that's a lot of races, Alan, in Formula One, which, you know, doesn't have a NASCAR-like schedule. It's not that many races a year. So it's been a long time since Kimi has stood on that top step of the podium.
Yeah, interesting. You know, and I'm just thinking about F1 in particular, how is the F1 series doing? Is it holding its own? Is it flatline? Is it going down? Is it going up? What's going on?
Well, I think since Liberty Media in the U.S. has taken it over, I don't think they've really done that much. They've been trying to do a second race in Miami, basically talking about giving them the race, no sanctioning fees, which could run as high as $10 million. And Miami is just saying, we'll talk about it next year. And a friend of mine from Miami who's into the racing scene says he doesn't think it's going to happen. So when Formula One, the most popular race series in the world, can't really land a race in Miami, which is a Formula One type town with all the, you know, Hispanics there, and you got Hispanics actually in the series,
right,
whereas we have no American drivers, you know, you would think it would just take off down there, but they're acting like they don't even really want it. So I think that's a little bit of a slap in the face. And of course, it was up against NASCAR last weekend. NASCAR beat it in the ratings. No big surprise there. But, Formula One globally, I think it's doing real well. You know, there's no shortage of people that want to race there. And I like the new halos that go over the cars. A lot of people were saying once they put those over the cockpit, it's going to ruin the racing. It's going to ruin the way the cars look. I think they look fine. The racing seems good. And I really like the fact that they've got a little more protection for the drivers there.
I was going to say, I haven't watched any racing in a little while because every weekend I'm consumed with mama do's, you know, and daddy do's. But the halo thing, it you said it's a safety factor. What is it?
Yeah, the last Formula One fatality we had was a driver who drove up under a piece of track equipment, and he didn't last very long. And then in the course of the IndyCar series, we've had some head injuries cause some fatalities, including Justin Wilson, who was driving along, and a piece of a car flew into the cockpit and killed it.
So, I saw that, yeah.
I really want IndyCar to adapt the Formula One, which is basically just a halo around the driver and one little bar that comes down in front of the driver's face, which drivers tell me is no big deal. I think each one for each F1 car I've heard costs $60,000, but I've heard somebody that's come up with one just as good for $12,000, which is still an awful lot of money. But for a team, I think that's still pretty affordable. So I like the example Formula One has set, and I hope every other open wheel series in the country follows it.
Right on. Safety's important. All right, we're going to take a little break. You can find Stephen Cole Smith, Automobile Magazine, automobilemag.com, and Auto Week. This is The Drive. We'll be right back. There are many words you could use to describe the new Kia Stinger GT. Stunning, stylish, sporty. The word breathtaking, however, isn't just an adjective. It's a warning. Because while the ability to go 0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds might take your breath away, going 60 to 0 with powerful Brembo brakes will help you catch it again. The 2018 Kia Stinger GT, fueled by youth. Stinger GT rear-wheel drive using launch control with factory-equipped 19-inch wheels. Results may vary. Do not attempt. Always drive safely.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Brembo, the choice of champions. And you'll see that name all over the motorsports world. Also, thanks to our friends at Subaru. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Stephen Cole Smith joining us, Automobile Magazine, Auto Week, one of the great auto and motorsports writers in our industry. Okay, we talked a little bit about F1, and now maybe a little update on what's going on in the world of NASCAR, Steve.
Well, we're counting down to the Ford Championship weekend, which is at Homestead Miami Speedway, November 16th through the 18th, because it'll be the championship round for the trucks for the Xfinity Series, and then on the 18th for the Cup Series. And they are doing some eliminations. The big surprise so far during this elimination period has been Chase Elliott. Won two races, one at Kansas last weekend, and I don't think anybody expected that. Chevrolet is not supposed to win there because they've had such a bad year, but really looks like they've turned things around. At least Chase Elliott has, as the top Hendrick car. You know, they've got some pretty good drivers over there at Hendrick, including Jimmy Johnson. But Chase Elliott, Bill Elliott's son, is the one who's really turned things around. So he's just about punched his ticket to go to Homestead. But we lost some drivers yesterday, like Brad Keselowski and a few other guys who, by losing, I mean they're not going to be in the championship hunt. They're going to be there every weekend. Of course, the elimination round makes it sound like they're going home, but they're not going anywhere. They're just going to the next race, but they're not going to have a shot at the championship, which, of course, narrows it down to the last four drivers. And then pretty much whoever has the best day at Homestead wins the season title. Kevin Harvick's had a good year. Kyle Busch has had a good year. Chase Elliott has got the momentum right now in the number 9 Mountain Dew car, and I think he just might be hard to beat.
You know, you keep talking about eliminations. I'm on a new diet. I think the news at the top of the hour, I'm going to have a little elimination of my own.
Man. That's a strange and uncomfortable twist. How is that diet going?
I am losing weight.
You're not a fat guy, Alan. I mean, I'm pretty fat, but you're not a fat guy. I don't
Excuse me.
Really
you have not seen me naked lately. Let me just say
that. Oh, I've seen photos, but no, I haven't in person. I mean, I subscribe to your private website, but I think you look okay.
Honestly, my daughter's got me on this diet, and you eat and drink and smoothies and take these enzymes, and oh my God, I will tell you, I feel a lot better. I apologize for the potty humor, but my goodness gracious, when you eliminate, you're talking about the NASCAR's elimination rounds, and I'm like, yes, that's about where I'm at right now.
A man cannot have too many enzymes. I think that's sort of that's a lesson for all of us, you know.
I'm sending this to my daughter, by the way. Oh, boy. All right, so any races going on this weekend so I can get out of this segment?
Yeah, NASCAR is at Martinsville, which is the shortest track on the schedule. They've already been to the biggest track, Talladega. for elimination. So now they're going to the smallest.
Quit saying that word.
You never know what happens at Martinsville.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's the shortest track, and just imagine the short track to the bathroom with your eliminations, and that's kind of the way Martinsville is. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
How do we speed up this to get to the news? Because I don't know if I'm going to make it to the news break, you guys. Anyway, oh my God. Yeah. All right. So what is your next race you're going to be at, by the way? Just curious.
Next weekend, I'm going to be at the six-hour race at Laguna Seca for the Pirelli World Challenge. And I might go down to Homestead after that for the NASCAR race. But we're winding down, Alan. I mean, IndyCar's over.
Yeah.
There's a sports car race. There is it's a past season ender for IMSA, which has, of course, already had their real points race finale at Petit Le Mans. But there's a race down at Sebring in early November for the GT cars. That means it's not the prototype cars. It's the GT cars that actually look like cars you see on the street. They've never done this before. They're hoping it's going to be a good one. It'll be the first race for Michelin, which formally takes over for the Daytona 24-hour next year. So it's kind of a test run for those guys. So, yeah, I may run down to Sebring. It's just a couple hours away. I may make it down there.
Oh, my gosh. Well, where's my announcer? Where is my announcer?
While Alan takes a potty break, you guys get to listen to some news.
Where's the announcer when you need him? Stephen Colesmith, you're the best, buddy. I love you, man. Appreciate it.
Take care, man, and have fun. SEMA.
I'm going to use this song while I'm in the restroom. You guys, a little news, and there's another hour of the drive. I got to tell you, this diet, I'm going to lose weight one way or another. We'll be back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, I am going to be, for the next week, on a stage in Las Vegas, being thinner than I was before because I've been dieting, and yes, I do feel good. I'll tell you, enzymes really work. Enzymes are really important for you to eliminate.
And it's what plants need. Oh, no, that's electrolytes. Sorry.
Oh, BJ Killeen's on the line. I got to tell you, BJ, this little diet I'm doing with my daughter, you know, I mean, you know me. I'll try eating a rock if that'll help me lose weight. But it won't because it just goes in my stomach and sits there. But my daughter's got this new thing, and I'm doing it, and I feel
better.
But you'll
never look as good as your daughter does.
No, that ain't going to happen. Of course, I'd have to lose 33 years to do that. Cause that's,
and be pretty.
And be pretty. And get on a pair of, like, strap-on boobs or something because, you know, I'm a man. So, but anyway. By the way, I saw Star is Born. If anybody wants to go see a pretty good movie. I mean, there's people that my wife was a little disappointed. I won't tell you anything about it because Lady Gaga and the guy, I can't think of the guy.
It's a remake movie that's been done four times.
Right.
It was a really good one. Go see the original.
Right. Well, my sister said the same thing. Here it's been done a bunch of times. I can't think of the guy's name. He's like the heartthrob of all the girls that I know. But anyway.
Yeah, it's the guy from The Hangover.
Yeah, from The Hangover, whatever his name is. Yeah. But his name's on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, it's a pretty good movie. Lady Gaga, though, the one thing, nobody can dispute the fact that she is an amazing, talented singer. Amazing. And so I think that, you know, if you like musical kind of movies where there's a lot of music in it, it's not really a musical. It's a lot of singing in it, but it was good. But there was one part where they were in this bar with a lot of transvestites and what have you, and they had all these I don't want to give it away. It's very funny, okay? But the point is, I don't know what my point was. Anyway, what do you want to talk about today?
you're a strange man.
I am.
There's no other way around it.
Far too much. Let me tell you, the one thing that I go back to my diet. You don't drink coffee because the first 30 days is a detox, and they're like, no coffee. I'm like, I will die without coffee. I mean, I will die, and I will get a hatchet and start hatcheting people. And it didn't happen. I was actually okay without coffee. But now give me coffee. Look what happens. I just had coffee.
I don't drink coffee, so I have no idea.
Let me tell you, it's a drug. It's a drug.
Oh, it's bad.
Trust me. Look at me right now. I just had a cup of coffee. I'm freaking out.
You run around. Well, I want to talk about something that I'm looking forward to doing the next couple of days. And it's kind of cool because not a lot of people do it. And it's something that J.D. Power and Associates puts on, and everybody knows who J.D. Power and Associates are, but they do something called an automotive marketing roundtable, and they hold it at the Bellagio here in Las Vegas, and our good buddy Gino Effler is the head of PR for J.D. Power, so he always invites me every year as media, and basically it's a lot of people from different companies, and auto companies included, like the head of a marketing at Audi of America and the guy who's head of marketing at Hyundai as well, Dean Evans. They're going to be there talking about marketing in this age, you know, with social media and how you're reaching out to people and whether it's virtual reality. But it's all about marketing in the automotive world. And it's so fascinating because you hear ideas and things that they talk about that you don't hear at CES or that you don't hear it at the SEMA show. You know, so it's really one of those where every single session is just information full, and it's just a lot of things that you think about and you can use when you're talking about marketing to different types of customers. So, again,
what's this got to do with The Star Is Born? That's what I want to know.
Nothing.
You know what? You're going to report back when you come back, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Because I want to know about it because our world is changing. Look at the marketing we do on this. I just got done promoting A Star Is Born. I'm not getting paid for it, but I could have been. Nobody would know the difference. That's called tricky marketing. Anyway, we'll be right back. It's The Drive.
Everyone's wondering, will you come out tonight? Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance. That's right. Whenever I got BJ Killeen on the line, I do feel good. BJ Killeen, automotive expert extraordinaire. And I'm a happy camper because she is my friend, my family, and
conscience.
Yes, conscience. Yes.
Conscience. Yeah.
My lamp in the night. By the way, we should for a moment try and be serious. Please, can you just catch yourself, BJ?
No.
Please.
Okay.
I need you to be serious for 2 minutes.
Okay.
The world of marketing really has changed. Something interesting happened the other day with Facebook. Somebody I know put a post up that had to do with their opinion about something that was going on with Russia. And I'm just curious if you have a take on this. And so that it must have said Russia 2 or 3 times on it. And they were kind of ranting. And, you know, some of our friends are very, very ranting political stuff and da-da-da-da. And so they said, you know what, I'm gonna boost that, which turns it from you ranting to your friends to now you ranting to the world. It now turns it into an advertisement, and you are now paid advertisers. We're talking about, you know, how things have changed. People don't think a lot of times that when they boost something to get it out to the world, that actually it is an advertisement. But believe it or not, Facebook said no. They said, nope, we cannot take this ad. Sorry, you've been turned down. So then I said to the person, they said, can you believe that? Because, of course, you know, we all complain to each other. Then I said, well, you know why? But look at it. What you're saying there looks like a, you know, a total political statement. And they're like, well, it is a political statement. Well, why don't you calm it down a little bit? So they calmed it down and they still turned it down. It's just very interesting how these platforms, social media, are really, really, really crunching down on freedom of speech. So I don't know. I'm just kind of making an observation that you would think if you want to spend your money, I mean, look, you can put porn, you can put everything out there. But if you want to have an opinion in this world today, on Facebook anyway, they're monitoring every little thing you say. And so I'm a little bit concerned about that, being an American citizen.
Well, there's an easy answer, and you get off of Facebook and you go to other places like MeWe, MeWe.com, which are more open. You know, it's hard because nobody wants to leave Facebook because it's big and all your friends are there. But the only way to move and make Facebook change is to go someplace else and make that big. So a lot of people are migrating over to MeWe.
You know what?
Because they don't have ads. They don't have nobody's censored. You can say whatever you want and people can comment as much as they want. You could have different groups and friends, and it's basically Facebook, but without the big brother all over.
Yeah.
You.
And so, the problem is I'm dyslexic. And the problem is I poked in, instead of MeWe, I put in Weenie. Oh my God. And you know what you get when you put anyway,
I don't want to know. I don't want to know. No,
I'm
not
joking.
At all.
Oh my God. Anyway, yes, the world of advertising and marketing has changed, and there's more things. You have this AI, artificial intelligence, that, I mean, there's things that are going on behind the scenes in our world. I mean, if you think autonomous cars are weird, dip into the world of advertising with artificial intelligence. That's a whole nother subject. Of course, the reason why I know some of this stuff, I know you guys, I know what you're thinking out there. Alan Taylor, you are weird. And you're right, I am weird. And the reason why I know about this stuff, because I work with Entrepreneur Magazine, and I'm interviewing entrepreneurs that are doing this stuff, and I'm like, really? And I said to one guy, I go, doesn't this kind of scare you a little bit? And he says, it scares the shit out of me. I know they beeped that, but that's what he said. This is a guy that's doing artificial intelligence advertising. It's artificial intelligence advertising. And don't even ask me on this show what it's about, but our world is changing. And that's why for BJ to go to conferences like the J.D. Power and Associates, J.D. Power, by the way, you said it earlier, J.D. Power is the voice of the consumer, the voice of the customer. And the reason why it is so important is because when you buy a car or a washing machine or whatever it is, because they have categories, and you get something in the mail from J.D. Power and Associates, it says, how did you like your car? How did it perform for you in the first, you know, week, month, year, whatever? And there are different categories that it goes into. So initial quality study, that's one of them they do. And all these things are your opinion. So when J.D. Power comes out with one of their studies, it's because you folks have replied to their surveys and said, yes, this car was fantastic for the first 3 or 4 months. So we have a lot of friends over at Kia, because we have friends in every auto manufacturer. And we're very proud that our friends at Kia have done a fantastic job, because they took a car company that was, I think, doomed by Americans when it first came to America. Hyundai and Kia both was doomed to be, you're not going to make it in our country. And they just said, you know what? We're going to build such great little cars. We're going to get designers that make beautiful designs. We're going to make safe cars. We're going to give you a 100,000-mile warranty. We're going to really make sure that we build a quality machine, and we're going to give it to you for a really great price. And guess who's winning the J.D. Power surveys right now? Is Kia and Hyundai. They're like top, over above Mercedes and BMW and all these car companies. So hats off to the folks at Kia and Hyundai for doing a great job. All right, listen, when we come back, BJ's going to talk not about Kia, but a Hyundai. She's driving a Hyundai Sonata, S-O-N-A-T-A, Sonata. If you don't say the T like a British person, you don't actually hear what you say. A Sonata. Anyway, did I get all that right, BJ?
Yes, you did.
I think I did. Pretty sure I did. The folks from J.D. Power will correct me if I was wrong. We'll be right back and hear about this new Hyundai Sonata. Stay with us. My dad is a proud doer, always building, repairing, or maintaining something. He relies on Craftsman tools, and I do the same. Today, Craftsman mechanics tools, metal storage, and lighting are available from your favorite retailers. But that's only the beginning. A full line of retooled and refined products are on the way. Find your favorite store at craftsman.com and stay tuned for more big news from this trusted American brand.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Craftsman. We build pride. Craftsman Tools, now owned by Stanley Black & Decker, who also owns Mack and DeWalt and Proto and like 10 or 11 of the world's best tool brands. Craftsman, we build pride. We're going to be with them at the big trade show known as SEMA. Coming up, well, all week next week for me, and BJ will be there also.
Yep.
And so Hyundai Sonata. I remember when that car first came out, it seems like I remember hearing that they were going to build that car for either $20,000 or under $20,000 originally. And I don't know how many years it's been, but I showed it on ABC. And I thought there is no way in hell that they're going to make that mark. And sure enough, they did, and it's been a fantastic car ever since the first one. I know many people have owned those cars, and it's a beautiful car. I think it was probably 10 years ago, maybe. I don't know how many years ago Sonata came out. But anyway, you're driving the newest model.
Yeah, it's impressive because you're right. Everything you said about Hyundai and Kia earlier is absolutely true. I mean, two companies that started off small and now they're just winning awards and quality achievements and everything from the get-go, and it's really impressive. So I was in the Kia Forte a couple weeks ago, and what did I do on the show last week? A couple weeks seems like forever. But I'm now in the 2018 Hyundai Sonata Limited, and they actually have a bunch of models of the Sonata, and they have hybrid models and something to please everybody. They've got everything from the SE to the Eco model for those who are really concerned about fuel economy, all the way up to the Limited 2.0 turbocharged engine. And I just have the straight Limited. It's got a 2.4-liter gas direct injection engine and had 6-speed automatic transmission. And, you know, it's a very nice car. And overall, the SE starts at 18.8. So you still got a car that starts under 20,000, Alan, which is impressive. So
yeah, right.
This one starts at 27.4. As tested, it was about 30,000 because it had the tech package and the ultimate package, you know, that gives you all your safety features and your panoramic sunroof and your Infinity audio, which everybody loves, 8-inch navigation. So a lot of great features in this vehicle. And a couple of things I really like. Number one, Hyundai and Kia, especially Hyundai, really focus on trying to make these vehicles as quiet as possible. They use adhesives in the seals for the welds to really stop any wind noise and rattles. And this vehicle was so darn quiet. I had a chance to put a fair amount of miles on it, and I really, really enjoyed driving it. 185 horsepower, 178 pound-feet of torque. Again, we're not talking scorching horsepower and torque numbers, but it's going to get you where you need to go. It's not intended to be some kind of hot racer model. That's not what this is about. It's a great commuter vehicle. You got 17-inch alloy wheels, LED headlights, LED taillights. You know, you've got the key that you can just stick it in your pocket. So they make it very easy. The steering is great. You've got the drive modes that give you an eco mode, a sport mode, comfort mode. So you can pretty much custom tailor this ride any way you want to do it. And I absolutely love it.
Let me ask you something. So I just looked it up while you were talking.
Uh-huh.
And Hyundai Sonata. So it says soon after it was launched in the U.S., 1989, Hyundai came up with a second generation introduced in 93. So 89, we're talking.
Yes.
Wow. So I think I showed probably, you know, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, what must have been, because there's seven generations of Hyundai Sonata. My guess is I showed probably the fifth generation. And I remember looking at that car. It was such a dramatic departure from what it had looked like before that I literally thought it was in it. And it was, I'm sure it was, a whole new car. They could have given it a different name even. And I thought there's no way they can build what I'm looking at right here for $20,000. And today even, it's a wonderful looking car. It is a good car, but I'm blown away that that car has, they've been building that since 89, seven generations of it. See?
And, you know, the car has got, obviously it's gotten bigger in size. You know, it is a mid-size sedan, so it competes with the big boys in the segment. And it maybe doesn't get as much love as a Camry because people that buy Toyotas just tend to buy them without thinking twice or looking again. But I'm telling you, if you bypass this Sonata, you're really doing yourself a disservice because, again, you've got that 100,000-mile warranty. You don't get that with a Toyota. And you've got a vehicle that looks great. Hyundai's got a great design studio. I think they have one in California, as a matter of fact. But the car looks good. The amount of features that you get for the money, it's still an amazing bargain. You know, it just is a great vehicle all the way around. So, again, I think people, maybe they're starting to come around and see that Hyundai and Kia are really, truly viable alternatives for the domestic product and for the European product. And they're getting more and more popular. And I think that's great news. Our vehicle, as far as fuel economy goes, it's listed as 25 in the city, 35 on the highway. We got about 31, 32 miles per gallon. And you know, Alan, we're lead foot. We don't drive really lightly. So the fact that we got that great fuel economy in a really quiet car that looks good with a great warranty, I don't know what else to say. You know, and they both sides had power seats, which to me is a big deal.
I know you get always, you've always, and I, you know what? I'm always in the driver's seat. So I never would even notice that some of these cars don't. By the way, I was looking here. The Hyundai Sonata I showed was in 2009, so it would have been almost 10 years ago.
Amazing.
And the change, I'm looking at pictures of these things. Man, it really went through a lot of changes. And the 2009 model, they really kicked it up a notch. And I think that's what, when right about that time, about 10 years ago, Hyundai started really, really taking off when it comes to their designs. They hired designers from other car companies, you know, BMWs and Audis and different people. And they've put together some vehicles that are just beautiful in every way, shape, and form. But hats off to them, man. We don't have ugly cars on the road anymore like we used to. There's no Aztecs out there.
No Yugos.
That's right. Hyundai Sonata. Go take one for a test drive. BJ, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Always fun.
All right. God, you know what? I'm coming down off that coffee high. I'm going to take a break. Go get another cup of coffee. I'm sure I'll be completely insane on the other side. It is The Drive.
You can spend this fall hauling bags of leaves to the curb or hauling. Hurry in to your local Dodge dealership for great deals on Dodge Charger with 292 horsepower and 30 mpg highway. Dodge Challenger, the most affordable V8 in its class. And Dodge Durango. This fall, get great deals at your local Dodge dealership. EPA estimated MPG. Actual results may vary based on Ward's Middle Specialty segment. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Josh Hancock joining us right now, the man in the Hollywood that matches the car with the character in all things film and television. He's our car guy consultant, works with the movie industry very closely, usually has some kind of scatological humor about movies. At least that's how I see it. Hi, Josh, what's going on?
Not speaking until I'm introduced correctly.
Do your own introduction, will you?
No, that's fine.
Hollywood car consultant Josh Hancock.
The only man more knowledgeable about cars than me, Josh Hancock. Here he is.
Okay.
Big Hollywood news this week, but it's funny. In preparation, I just kind of jotted down some things that have been on my mind. Get your reaction.
Okay.
How about a four-cylinder Silverado pickup truck?
Full size?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's $1,000 more than their trusty V6. And the numbers aren't staggering for how much it goes up in fuel economy. You know, it's funny. I've read a lot around it, and I can't find anybody that thinks it's a great idea.
Yeah, I think that, you know, but here's the deal. Is it a mild hybrid or anything? It's like, what?
It's a very solid motor. It's just that, you know, Ford actually kind of got really lucky with the EcoBoost, the way they named it.
Right.
The fact that the motors are pretty fast. I'm sure this is a very good motor, as they say in the reviews. I haven't driven it. They do say it's a nice motor, but why would you choose it when you could have their non-aspired V6, aspirated V6 that's very solid and trustworthy?
But you know what? You know what? Maybe, and let me just play devil's advocate, because the only thing I can think to do is that they must look at their fleet of vehicles for their fleet business, okay? So you have all these municipalities running around, not going over probably 50 miles an hour and not going more than a few miles outside of their, you know, meter readers or, I don't know, God knows what. Is this like a short bed, standard cab, two-wheel drive truck?
I think I know. It's unfortunately the list of, and I'm doing this from memory, I should look it up right now, but list price on a standard six-cylinder is in the 27,000s, and the only way you can get this four-cylinder is to go well into the 30s.
Bizarre.
Because it's package resync, so that knocks your argument right out of the box.
But
I would agree with you, it would make sense on a fleet basis
right.
for an inexpensive vehicle, yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, who knows?
I think they're appealing to buyers who realize they use their trucks to commute. You can haul plenty with it enough, but the primary reason that they use their trucks is a commuter vehicle, and they're like, hey, I'll take this four-cylinder off.
Yeah. You know, it's to me, you know me, I mean, I got a 10-cylinder sports car with a Viper, right? I can't get enough cylinders. If I could get, you know, the W12, I was actually going, all right, 12 of those babies.
Yeah.
You know?
We know more cylinders really equates to highway, high speed. You know, I just had a DB11. You get that thing out and you go 120 miles an hour with it. It is not breathing hard.
Yeah. Well,
there's no reason I'll lug it around town.
I got on the freeway in my Viper the other day, and you know the Viper is just this ridiculous machine. It's fantastic and ridiculous all at the same time. I got on the freeway and I think I went like 65 in first gear. My buddy goes, "What the hell?" And I'm going, "Hold on, I'm going to change gears." And it's like these things are ridiculous. We got 1,600 horsepower. John Hennessy in his new Venom F5. He says he's going to break the 300 mile per hour mark. 1,600 horsepower. And then yet they're putting a four-cylinder with, you know, probably got 235 horsepower. But Ford's little, like you were talking about, their EcoBoost, their little four-cylinder Ecoboost, is like 300-some-odd horsepower, four cylinders. So I don't know obviously you don't have the deal in front of you. But, yeah, I agree. Why are you going to do that unless it's electrified in some fashion, you know, some mild hybrid or extended range electric vehicle so they can use it as a generator on a job site or whatever. I mean, I don't know. It's just bizarre.
Well, I'm going to throw something else out here. Why are we calling the new Hellcat a Red Eye?
No, it's actually called the Red Eye. They're still going to build a Hellcat. They're going to have a Red Eye, and then I think they have one called a 1320. I'm just telling
you. They're literally going to have the Hellcat at 707 horsepower.
Correct. 797 for the Red Eye. And I don't know what the 1320, I don't know if that's a special drag racing setup.
The Red Eye is listed that can top 200 miles an hour.
Yeah, well, probably so. Tire rating, I mean, that's no problem. You got 800 horsepower.
So it's getting a little muddled, you know. It's like Hellcat holds its own. And then, you know,
they can't build them fast enough. They cannot build them fast enough. And here is a platform that is a decade old, if it's a day old. And they can't build them fast enough. They're selling everyone. And I want to get a Red Eye. It's like 797 horsepower. You know, I mean, I'm going to sell my Demon for like 175 grand and take the profit and go buy a Red Eye. You're almost there anyway. Anyway, I love what I see. I don't love these little itty bitty engines. I don't love, I don't hate, but I don't love, you know, there's a big difference there. I don't love electric cars. I just, to me, it's like a dream. I want the real thing. I love dreaming, but I really would rather have the real thing, if you know what I'm saying. I'll just leave it at that. All right.
Well, this really doesn't make any sense at all.
The real thing is that electric cars are like silent and they're not as responsive, although people that drive Teslas will say, you know, I'm crazy. But I love hearing and feeling the raw, gritty nature of a big V8 or V10 under the hood, as I have a V10 car. Actually, I really prefer a V8, period. V8s. But, you know, these electric cars are like dreaming as I'm driving down the road. I fall asleep behind the wheel. All right, we'll take a break. More with our Hollywood car guy. You got to ask me about Stars Born, because there was a truck in there, and it was a plant. I'll talk to you on the other side. It's The Drive.
All right.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet, the new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance. You're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Our show is brought to you in part by Subaru. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. So I went and saw with my wife last night the movie A Star Is Born with Lady Gaga and what is that guy's name? Bradley Cooper. There you go.
Yes.
He directed it. Did you know that? And produced it.
Yes, I did.
And I got to tell you, the dude is a rock star. That's all there is to it. I think he sang in it even. I can't tell if he was actually singing, but Lady Gaga, man, she has got an amazing voice. But there's one, bringing it back around to cars, there's one scene where he goes into his garage, and I won't tell you any more than this, but there was like a 1973 to 1977-ish Ford pickup. So the guy is, you know, he's a rock star in the movie because it's about Stars Born, and he's got like an old Harley motorcycle, not an old one, a newer one, and he's got this old Ford pickup, you know, 70s.
Ford pickup. Yeah.
And I thought to myself, if you look, and I thought of you immediately, Sam Elliott's in the movie too.
Yeah.
Immediately I thought, isn't that interesting? Because that truck matches that character. And I thought how important it is to match the character to the car he should or shouldn't be driving or whatever. It's just very, very interesting.
Okay.
That's your job. So
that said, what did his brother Sam Elliott drive?
His brother Sam Elliott was driving a Ram truck.
That is correct.
Did you see the emblem on the hood?
It was a much newer Ram, right. And it was a diesel, if you noticed.
I did not notice the diesel part of it.
What's funny about that is, because normally, and it's a very good choice for him, too, because, look, he's like the manager, he's running around, the Ford pickup was something the guy would have at home to use when he's home for the fun of it. Sam Elliott, though, they don't usually use a diesel because of the noise. So he drops his brother off at the house, and the truck's sitting there idling, and you can hear the diesel motor while they're talking.
That's funny. Well, and those trucks are pretty darn quiet, I have to tell you, because I own one. But, yeah, I thought it was funny. Pretty good movie, by the way.
They didn't used to be, and now they are.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to throw something else out there.
Yep.
Two things. First off, how about we're going to up Ford GT production by another 350 units?
I talked to Carl about that about an hour ago at the beginning of the show, and he is fully, you know, excited about that, because the fact is that, you know, the more they build of these things, in this case, the more they build of these things, the more we have a chance for real people to get them like Carl. And so many people did not get one that wanted one because they went to this influencer crowd. And, you know, it's like when you have something that's like so elite like that, you can almost reach into the snobification, you know, platform area there where, you know, you're up so high that it's like people start to resent you a little bit. People do that with the Ferrari crowd a little bit. Like, oh, look at the snob in the, behind the wheel of that car, you know.
Well, so. I can tell you, I have been personally involved with the problems of people getting turned down here. And then, I won't say his name, but one of the influencers shows up with this car, and people are just pissed
right.
that he's got. So what I'd love to see Ford do with this next 350 is say, this is not for YouTube stars. This is only for car guys.
Right, right, right.
What I know is the original list of people that were truly interested and probably qualified was about 7,000 people.
Yeah,
so this, really, is yeah. This is going to put the total number of vehicles produced at 1,350. So yeah. They're not going to have any trouble selling these cars.
No, no, I know. And here's the deal. I mean, we talked about this. I'll just reiterate for a second.
Yeah.
$500,000 Ford. A $500,000 Ford. And like you just said, I think he said the number was like above 6,500 people that tried to buy one, that literally tried to buy one. So it's just a very interesting, interesting
good
thing.
Problem to have.
Yeah, it is. Any other movie? While we were talking about movie stuff, any other movie stuff going on in your world?
I don't really have anything I can talk about right now, which is why, you know, they're going to resurrect G.I. Joe again.
Huh.
And the first G.I. Joe really didn't do anything.
Really? I didn't see it, so I wouldn't know even.
Yeah, there it is. But I will say on a movie car level that in G.I. Joe, they hand-built from the ground up an original design truck in the same respect as they did for the Hunger Games.
Right.
And, you know, Cinema Vehicle built the vehicles for both movies. And the Hunger Game truck is, you know, it's 10 foot 5 inches tall. It's a massive vehicle. And that was a ground-up design. And people don't even know it.
What was the movie that came out recently that was like Thunderdome or something like that, where they made it in, like, Australia and had all those crazy machines? I can't think of the name of the movie. It's like my brain is not pumping out the name of that movie. But, I mean... Yes, come on.
The original one was with Mel Gibson.
Right, but what was the latest one where they had these crazy machines racing across the desert? Oh, I wish all the audience could tell me because they know the name. But anyway, that was my favorite movie. Whatever
Mad
the heck. Mad Max, that's right. Thank you. I knew. It's like, come on, everybody.
Now, the car story behind Mad Max is pretty interesting because it was shot in Australia and South Africa.
My question is, whatever happened to all those machines? I want to buy one of them, you know.
Well, they destroyed roughly 140 automobiles.
Oh, my gosh. All right, hang tight, Josh, there. I got to take a break. I'm going to get run over by a commercial. Fred, Josh Hancock with us. We're just talking a little bit of car talk like guys do. The Drive with Alan Taylor, joshcar.com. We'll be right back. There are many words you could use to describe the new Kia Stinger GT. Stunning, stylish, sporty. The word breathtaking, however, isn't just an adjective. It's a warning. Because while the ability to go 0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds might take your breath away, going 60 to 0 with powerful Brembo brakes will help you catch it again. The 2018 Kia Stinger GT, fueled by youth. Stinger GT rear-wheel drive using launch control with factory-equipped 19-inch wheels. Results may vary. Do not attempt. Always drive safely. So our show is brought to you in part by Dodge Domestic, not domesticated. We were talking about this old platform that the Dodge Challenger is. It's like 10 years old. And for the auto industry, that's really, really old. I mean, it's like usually if they can go 5 years, that's good. 5-6 years, and then they start making a whole bunch of changes. Dodge did something so interesting with the Dodge Demon that revitalized the Challenger to the point that then they came out with another one called the Red Eye, which is now out. I saw one driving down the road. And you know what's funny? I didn't see it. I heard it first. I went, what? What? Oh, yeah. There it is. There it goes. I see it. I saw one in the wild. It's like the Bigfoot. You know, you can hear it clomping through the woods, and you're like, oh, there it is, because it's got these
a very distinct sound. That's right. You know, as it whines. As
speaking of a distinct sound, you are a distinct sound, Josh Hancock.
No, you're very whiny, like those cars. So yes.
So hey, I went on classiccars.com the other day, yes, and I'm looking around. This is a website, by the way, you guys, where you can buy and sell classic cars only. So it's classiccars.com. They have like 48,720. There's a counter that tells you 48,725 classic cars for sale. And that's it's like, wait a minute, what? And you can scroll and scroll and scroll. And I'm like, look at that one. Look at that. Wow, look at that one. Well, look at that one. So, I, you know, it's like I get lost
kind of amazing.
In it. Yeah.
But, you know, I'm gonna say this because the interest in classic cars in the Hollywood market is stronger than it ever has been. And, of course, it's my business, but what you just said about Bradley Cooper and that pickup truck in the garage will spur sales of classic pickup trucks, believe me.
I think you're right. He's talking about, because in the last segment we were talking about A Star Is Born with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga, and the yeah. only car you see Bradley Cooper driving, and he doesn't drive it very much, is like an old 70s, mid-70s Ford pickup. And it's like you see that and you go, you know, I guess as a car guy, I go, yeah. And I actually have a 78 Ford pickup sitting out in my field that I've owned since 1980, right? It was 2 years old when I got it, and I still have it. And I literally, in my mind, I went, I'm going to bring that truck out, and I'm going to fix it up. Those trucks are bringing huge money. I mean, huge money.
We've seen the early 50s trucks that are kind of hot rod out start to bring the money. But a regular 74 Ford is still not bringing the money yet, but my prediction is that it will.
I don't know. I was at Barrett Jackson just here recently, and there was some trucks in there that were bringing $25,000, $29,000 that just 5 years ago literally would have only been $5,000, and five would have been high for that truck. You know?
Yeah, and those are 10-point trucks.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't even that nice. The 10-point. Don't you start yelling at me on my show. I'm almost done with you anyway. The point is. The point
you know,
is.
Surprise, but I mean, I think in general, the classic car movement, I've never seen it as strong and more people asking me about it. And of course, they ask, and a lot of their questions are movie related. I mean, when Clint Eastwood did Torino.
Yeah, Gran Torino, right.
There were people looking for that Torino.
Totally, man.
It's crazy. And the car that I just don't think has ever gotten any steam is the Ranchero and the El Camino. Yep. I still want to buy one right now because I think they're going to be worth
it. Let me tell you, I have a 72 El Camino. You know, I stripped it apart and I didn't finish it. I'm that guy. Yes, I have like tons of projects that are not done. Yeah. But I love the El Caminos. And my first girlfriend out of high school, her dad had a, I think it was a 72 Ranchero that was this, you know, avocado green metallic, had a camper shell in the back with the wood grain, camper shell with wood grain. And yeah. the car yeah. itself had wood grain on it. And I thought to myself, man, I love that thing. It was basically a Torino truck, right?
But so. Let's not forget the fact that they made some very hot versions in the El Camino. They made SS versions. Yeah, they had a Torino GT with a 428 in it in those cars. I mean,
totally.
They made some muscle cars out of those.
You know what
vehicles.
We just did? We just planted the seeds in a lot of people's minds the same way you and I just did. We're like, I gotta do that. I gotta find one of those. Classiccar.com. You guys can go check it out. There's like 50,000 classic cars for sale there, and all for sale by owner. Pretty cool thing. I just kind of came across it the other day when I was noodling around like we do. Josh Hancock, thank you, sir. Joshcar.com. Little Ferris Bueller's Day Off for you, right?
It's a pleasure.
All right, that's about it. I am going to go now. SEMA is happening in next week, all week next week. I'll come back next week with a whole bunch of great interviews from the biggest automotive aftermarket trade show in the world, SEMA, the Specialty Equipment Market Association. And you can find out more about that at SEMA.org. I'm Alan Taylor, and this is The Drive. See you next week. the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time. All while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love! It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.